Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Transitional Wisdom Podcast, where Nash and I discuss all things trans and queer related from a variety of different perspectives. All right, so this week we are going to talk about coming out and all of those different times.
So many times.
So many times. So, Nash, yeah. Do you want to share your coming out 1.0?
1.0?
1.0. So,
yeah, so my coming out... So the first time that I remember coming out was when I was around, I believe, 12, and I don't remember where I got the words from or anything like that, but I remember I didn't say the words like gay or anything, but I remember coming home from school one day, and I had been in trouble at school for acting out for some reason, and... as I typically did, and came home, and I was, you know, my parents were very upset with me, and I had a lot of emotions I didn't really understand, and I remember just saying, you know, well, it's not my fault that I like girls, as though that had anything to do with why I was in trouble at school.
Interesting.
It seemed rational.
Uh-huh.
And so from there, my mom, you know, they kind of responded, and I remember that somebody said, like, are you sure? And that really set me off. So when they asked if I was sure, I actually, this is my first time running away from home, and I'm saying running away from home with an eye roll and quotes, because the house that we lived in at this point had like kind of a roof that had a flat area to it. So from my bathroom window, I could actually climb out to this little flat area of the roof and sit there. And, you know, we weren't allowed to do this. I don't remember how I learned about it, but it was something that, you know, it's not something I did that anybody knew about. So I basically, after this, you know, supposed coming out to my parents, I ran away from home by sitting on the flat part of the roof for a few hours. And I think the best part of that situation was that I could see my parents walking out the front door and running around the front yard looking for me, and I was getting some sick pleasure from
them. Oh my god.
So that was really fun. But you know, I think looking back, because I used to be like, wow, what was wrong with me? But like looking back, it was just like, I was hurting so badly, and I just wanted somebody else to hurt as much as I was, and I didn't know how else to get help about mm-hmm. that. So whatever. So that was my first coming out. But so just saying that I liked girls, you know, somewhere that there was another conversation with my parents, I remember them being very, you know, anxious and scared about me being gay or something, just because, you know, that wasn't something that people in my area talked about, uh-huh. or there wasn't like lots of resources necessarily, and stuff like that. So I remember there was at one point my dad asked me, like, well, you still like boys, right? Or maybe my mom asked me, one of them asked, and I was like, yeah, I still like boys. And they were like, okay. And I think seeing that glimmer of hope from them that, okay, maybe this child will, you know, go the straight route or whatever, mm-hmm. seeing that kind of shut me up and let me take the label of bisexual. And I really tried to embody that label too. Like I you know, I dated a few boys that I went to school with or that went to school nearby throughout, like, middle school, which, you know, middle school dating is whatever, but I tried the love letters and the phone calls.
The phone calls on the landlines.
Yes, and you know, asking for flowers on Valentine's Day and, like, all the girly things or whatever that we were told were super, you know, feminine. Mm-hmm. I tried all that, and it really just, you know, it always came back to that I loved this boy that I was dating, and it was because, but deep down, it was because I just wanted to be him, and I just loved who he was. Like, my favorite story to think about is this boy I dated. I was 15. It was my freshman year of high school. It was kind of like my one last try, I think, to, you know, quote, be normal in my mm-hmm. school and society, the nearby society's eyes. And there's this boy I had dated. His name was Dale, and I was just obsessed with him. And everybody's like, "Oh my God, you guys are so cute! Like, you guys love each other." This whole thing, and I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." But, like, let me just tell you what I did. Like, this kid used to always wear University of North Carolina Tar Heels hats. Uh-huh. Loved the Tar Heels. Always was wearing Tar Heels, a baby blue and white hat, and then he would always had some sort of, like, T-shirt or something that had them on it. So the Tar Heels became my favorite sports team. And, you know, it was because I loved him so much. But, like, in reality, it was because I just thought he was so fucking cool and I wanted to be like him. Mm-hmm. So I would buy Tar Heels hats and I would, you know, like, I would kind of try and take on his persona. And, yeah, that went on for a while. So I stayed with the label of, like, bisexual up until probably middle of high school. And then I pretty much didn't tell anybody anything differently just because I didn't want to deal with people. So I came out to people when I went to college, I came out to people there as just being a lesbian, and I just, you know, I left it at that, and that's the identity I held throughout college, and I never really corrected my parents differently, or, you know, I really just kind of left it alone. It didn't feel important to me to tell them anything differently. Mm-hmm. You know, they accepted the bisexual, and, like, to me it was like,
that was good.
Don't poke the bear.
Yeah, like, don't rock I was that very boat,
scared.
Baby.
Yeah, and not that they necessarily did anything to make me feel that way, but I just was so scared because I was already, like, I felt weird and different. And
you know, I think it's just, it's an automatic internalized thing, especially, like, coming from, like, where we come from, where we don't see any representation. So we know how we feel, but we don't know anybody else who maybe feels that way. So it's a very right. abnormal. And so, of course, your initial response is going to be like, what's wrong yeah. with me? Am I going to be accepted? I just feel like that's a very natural.
Right.
Even if you have the best parents in the world and they've always made it, you know, they've made it known you'll always be loved and all of that. Yeah, I think that's just a natural response.
Yeah, because they definitely, you know, they definitely had concerns and feelings, but they always supported and, like, loved me. It didn't really matter. So it was, yeah, it was definitely, like, an internal thing. And I think to me it was like, okay, I've gotten people to somewhat accept bisexual, and it's like, if I go further, if I live that truth, like, then what? Is that going to be too much for people? And yeah, I guess it was like internalized homophobia a little bit, like, of just that mm-hmm. fear of, like, well, is this too much for people? So yeah, so I like I said, in college, I just meet people I met, started off with saying I was a lesbian, and so that was my label for myself and people that I was close to in college and everything. And that was, you know, whatever. There was no big coming out. It was just who I was. Mm-hmm. And then when I came out as trans, that was, I think, to me, felt like a bigger deal. And it was a bigger deal. So my coming out for that was really interesting because I had, you know, since I was like 11 or 12, my parents, especially my mom, had always asked me, like, do you feel like a boy? Do you want to be a boy? Like, I was often, you know, online, like on a computer online in like chat forums and stuff, and embodying personas of boys and talking to girls and having these, like, you know, internet relationships and stuff, because it was the only way I think I could obviously feel safe, like, expressing who I really felt I was. But, you know, my parents had seen those things before. I had been in therapy. Like, there was a lot of stuff going on with that, and somehow, mm-hmm. which I still don't get, how my parents were taking me to New York City to this psychiatrist, and I just don't understand how this man was such a good psychiatrist and never questioned my gender or like
and missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, just like did not push that. Like mm-hmm. I just don't know, but that's a story for another episode. but so yeah, so when I was coming out as trans, like it was, you know, it was something that they had been asking for a long time, and I had always said no, and you know, the only experience I had with anybody who was trans was, you know, Brandon Tina in Boys Don't Cry, and I think anybody who's seen that movie knows that doesn't exactly push you to feel comfortable with being transgender, especially a trans male, like after seeing that. So what finally happened was I was really struggling to like meet friends, actually. So this is back when I lived in New Jersey. This is like, you know, almost 6 years ago. And I was struggling to make friends after I had graduated, and I, you know, I was working a different job and stuff, and there weren't young people there. So I ended up going to like a support group, and it was a support group for girls who like girls. So it was very specific. And by support group, I think it was more so just a hangout. But I drove, this place was like 45 minutes away from my house, but like this one night, oh, also, and you know, C knows, and anybody who knows me, I'm like a grandpa, and I go to bed at like, you know, 9-10 o'clock.
True. So true.
So this meeting, so support group was 45 minutes away, and then it also didn't start until like 8 o'clock or something. So I was just like, I really need this. So I did it. I went. Basically, the most memorable part of the night was when I came in, there was what I now understand to be a lesbian trans woman who was running the support group. I didn't understand that at the time. I was incredibly confused. Mm-hmm. And I think, first of all, not only did she pick up on the confusion, I think that she picked up on the fact that I just didn't feel, I didn't really belong in that room, because I wasn't a girl who liked girls, though mm-hmm. I thought I was. And so, you know, at one point I was telling a story about my brother actually got very uncomfortable when one of his school friends saw me and said, "Oh, is that your brother?" referring to me, and I was in the back seat of the car or something. And he got very uncomfortable with that because, you know, at that point I was a girl and I was his sister, and but I had always been mistaken for a boy. So I was telling this story in the support group, and the woman said, "Well, did you get uncomfortable knowing that somebody called you a boy or something like that?" And I said, "Well, no." And then I just continued trying to talk about my story. And she's like, "Wait, stop." And, you know, she's like kind of called me out. And she's like, "Well, you know, most people would get uncomfortable like with something like that or whatever, and kind of just pushing it a little bit." And I was like, I don't know. And I didn't really have an answer. And I just left that night with a very different outlook on things. I think it just kind of sparked me thinking about gender and what that means. I also should backtrack 1 second and say that a really important part of this story is that I read a book called E Squared. I don't know if you've read it, but it's a spiritual book, and it's about, you know, kind of asking the universe for things, getting the universe to communicate with you in a way that you can understand and you can recognize, and at least my understanding. I haven't read it in a long time, so nobody get upset if I just butchered that. But basically, the point is, the day before I went to the support group, the experiment was like, you know, it said something like, ask the universe, you know, sit down, think about it, ask the universe to give you a sign of what, you know, of what you need to be doing next, or give me a sign of something. I can't remember word for word. So I did this, you know, I did this experiment, and the whole thing was like, in the next, you know, 24 or 48 hours or something, like, you'll see this message from the universe, pay attention, you know, it could be subtle, blah, blah, blah. So here I am at this meeting, and this is all happening, and then, you know, it's just obvious what was happening. It's obvious mm-hmm. that was my sign from the universe telling me that this is what I needed to focus on to pursue, like, happiness or whatever. So that was the beginning of me exploring my gender. And then, yeah, coming out from there, I kept it to myself for about a month. I just kind of tried to figure out what it meant and just figure out how I wanted to go about it, what I was really feeling and everything. And at that point, you know, I didn't know anybody who was trans. There was nothing nearby me that had support for something like that or whatever. So this is in the beginning of Instagram, but I was on Instagram and I somehow came across who is now one of my really good friends, Matt. I came across his Instagram page, and I remember seeing, you know, I think he was just like 6 months into his transition, but I remember seeing pictures of him and his girlfriend, like, picking up the prescription and, like, all these little images, and just seeing how much she obviously loved him and how happy he was. Like, something kind of sparked in me, like, okay, maybe I can do this. And so I reached out to him, and he was so nice and, like, gave me his phone number right away. This is before Instagram DMs, so, like, you couldn't message. You had to comment and ask somebody if they'd talk to you. Uh-huh. And I remember how embarrassed I was, like, oh my god, I'm gonna comment on this kid's picture and say, like, can I talk to you? So super nice. Yeah, like, he reached out and I reached out, whatever, and we started talking, and I basically started asking him all about his transition, and, like, from there realized what was really going on, and things started to make a lot more sense. And there was a lot of things he said that just resonated with me or sounded exactly like experiences I had, whatever. So after that, it was pretty quickly after that, maybe like a day, maybe not even, that I came out to Blair, my partner, and we had been dating for like a year and a half at that point. And she, yeah, we were driving to go away for a weekend. We used to go on these little weekend trips, like, nearby, driving mm-hmm. distance, because we both worked in an office, and it was kind of our only time together to really engage and whatever. So we were going away to Mystic, Connecticut, and I will never forget, we were driving to this B&B, and we used to like to go to these, like, you know, historical ones or whatever, haunted ones. So we went to this B&B, and as we're getting there, I was just silent the whole car ride. And it's like, you know, I think it was like 2 hours. And again, I think anybody who knows me being silent for 2 hours is like, wow, what on earth is going on? Like, something is clearly wrong. I'm sure you can attest to that.
Oh, yes.
So you can understand how Blair was probably feeling, like, what is happening with this person? So I just, like, at some point she was just like, what's wrong, or something like that. And I just started crying, and I was like, I don't want to be a girl, I think is how I said it. And she started really cute, like, giggling, and was just like grabbed my hand or something, and was just like, I know, like, I've been waiting for you to tell me this. Like, I was wondering how long this was going to take, I remember. Aww. And then I was just like crying, and she's like, you don't have to be upset. Like, it's okay. There's nothing wrong. And I was like, oh my god, that's exactly what I need to hear right now. But, like, then we didn't use, like, words for it or anything. I basically came out to her, and I basically, when we got to the, because I was driving, so when we got to the B&B, we sat down on the bed together, and I bought my first binder at that point online. And then so that was a big coming out moment for me. And it really, I think her support and, like, understanding of things, maybe even more so than I had an understanding of, mm-hmm. was really encouraging for me. Like, it kind of set the tone. Like, her response was so good that even if something was bad, I could deal with it because hers was so good. And then also because hers was so good, I was like, oh, hopefully everybody else's will be. So I waited probably like another month until I came out to my sister and my parents, because I just really struggled with how to. So what I ended up doing was completely shutting down emotionally.
Check one.
And then after I did that, my sister started to pick up on it. And, you know, there was one day when she called me and was just like, just, you know, yelling at me, kind of like, just tell me what's wrong. And I just kind of like screamed it at her on the phone. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. You know, Blair's the only person that knows, like, whatever. And we just kind of hung up. And I remember, I think she texted me after and was like, I know you don't want to talk about it, but I just want you to let you know that, like, you know, it's okay, whatever, I love you, something like that, which was really nice. And then, again, I think kind of having that little more support, it was like, okay, I got two people on my side, like, mm-hmm. you know, one at a time. So I don't remember how soon after, but within a few weeks after that, I came out to my mom. I sent her an email. We worked in the same office, so I conveniently from the other side of the office sent her an email. And basically told her what was going on.
So this was all very quick as well. Like, once you had that realization, it was a few months into it.
Yes. This was all, my realization up to when I told Blair was just no time. You know, I don't even know if it was 2 days. Like, no time. Maybe, whatever. And then...
You just came home screaming it at her?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like, this all happened within a month. Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Within 1 to 2 months, it was like, everything was out. Because once I understood, you know, who I was and all this and how I identified, to me, there was no, why would I waste time holding it to myself? Or why would mm-hmm. I, you know, at that point, the option of like, oh, let me just transition and not tell anybody was not an option. You know, I lived right near my family. I worked with my family. Like, it wasn't an option to do that. So, I went to the therapist to kind of figure out what my real identity was so I could tell other people. So, then I came out to my mom after she read the email. We talked about it, and it was tough. She was super supportive and loving, but my youngest brother had cancer for years and, you know, went through 2 different scenarios from doctors basically saying, you know, that he was going to die. And it was very, very traumatic for everybody. And so my mom's first response, like, you know, after offering the love and support, her first response was like one of just total fear, because she felt like she was losing another child, like her child was going to die or, you know, not be there and whatever. So while I didn't agree with that, I was understanding of where she was coming from. So there was, you know, like a 2-week period where we didn't really communicate. She was very shut down and she was very like detached, and just, it was obvious she was trying to process everything. And then once that 2 weeks was up, it was like full force, like mama bear, like, I love you, like, I support you, you don't need to worry about anything. You know, she was just like 100% got it. And I waited until then to tell my dad, because I needed my mom to be on my side in order to feel like it was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to tell my dad while, like, my mom wasn't speaking to me. My mom has always been kind of like the soother, so she smooths everything over. So I needed to know that she was going to do that if something happened. So, yeah, so just one night I asked my dad if, like, after work, like, if I can come to his house and just, like, talk to them, whatever. Went over and I just, you know, I just outright told him. And the first thing that he said in response was, I told your mom this was going to happen when you were 11. Yeah, and so I looked at him and I was like, well, then I guess this shouldn't be a shock, right? Mind you, I should note that on my long walk up their driveway to the front door, I threw up in a bush because I was so anxious. So
I love you so much.
I was so anxious. So he said that, and, you know, like, he really was pretty understanding. Like, he had some questions, and, like, his questions were important questions, and I think they're also indicative of, like, where the world was, you know, 5-6 years ago, and also where just even the area I lived in was, because his questions were like, you know, so how do you have the surgeries all at once? Like, mm-hmm. he believed that, like, you go in for surgery and you have, like, your top surgery and your bottom surgery and everything's done in a day. So it's like an overnight process, you know? And I was like, no, it doesn't work like that. And, you know, I explained to him a little bit more about that. And he was like, well, why wouldn't you just have it done all at once? So you don't have to, like, live like in between and stuff like that. And I was like, okay,
good,
like,
point.
Yeah. And I was like, these are really important questions. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, they were things I also hadn't really thought about, because I just really wanted to get on hormones and stuff. So I had to sit and think about, how do I answer these questions? And then, you know, he, and then the most important question I think that he asked, which I hope this is, you know, I'm not saying this because he's a bad person, because he's not. This is just literally where we came from and like how people thought about these subjects. But he said to me, well, if you don't have surgery right away, how are you a man without, you know, having a penis? And I was like, okay, I understand. How do, and I need, and like, you know, I had to really think about it. And then I said to him, the, you know, the story we've heard other people talk about is like, I said, well, Dad, if you went to war or something and your, you know, your penis got blown off in some sort of accident, are you no longer a man? And he was like, well, no, of course not. I was like, okay, it's the same thing. Like, you don't need that body part to be a man. And he had to really like let that sink in and understand that. And it was also really eye-opening to me, because I had to sort of, in answering those questions, I had to answer them for myself. So it made me have to actually address them for myself and really like unpack what this means to be, you know, a man with a vagina or whatever, like something like that. And yeah, that was really, that was tough to do, I think, early in just coming out with this. But it was, I think it was really important for me, because I think it did allow me to just really make better decisions for myself and know what I needed. But yeah, from there, we actually did not tell my, I have two brothers, and we didn't tell them until a few, like 2 or 3 months later, because we were trying to figure out how. And also, Blair and I, at this point, in between coming out, had decided to move. We were going to move to Seattle. I couldn't find good support or care where I was living in New Jersey. And I just at that point lost all comfort in potentially transitioning there. So we planned to move to Seattle. And so my parents kind of wanted to wait until right when I was about to move to tell my brothers so that they could, you know, process after that. So we did that. And they both responded very well, and they were very supportive and loving. And my favorite thing to share, and but again, you know, just really shows where we came from and the lack of knowledge. But my youngest brother, he said, when I came out to him, he said, "So does Blair have to transition with you, or do you break up?" And I just thought that was really sweet, because like he just didn't understand that, you know, one person can be trans and one person cannot, and that, like that can be okay. But yeah, so from there, everything else was just, you know, I didn't really have to tell anybody else. I told friends, and that was fine. There was no big conversations or anything. Everybody was super supportive, which was great. My parents started telling their friends, because, you know, we have a lot of close, like, family friends that we spend holidays or different events with, and so my parents took, you know, they took charge of telling them, and they basically just kind of sat down with people and explained it to them, and yeah, like left it up to that. And I, my favorite thing ever was that after my parents came out to certain people, there were a few people that actually like sent me cards in the mail. Aww. And yeah, and told me like how much they loved and supported me. And that was probably like the best feeling in the world, to just have somebody care. Like, I think offering your support obviously is like so important, but like for them to go out of their way to send like a card to really just explain like that, I don't know. I really appreciated that. But yeah, it was, you know, it was, once I came out to my family, it was just, that was it. I didn't need to.
They kind of took really over from there.
Yeah, they took over and I didn't have to worry about it anymore. And that was really nice.
That is nice. We already have to do so much, so whenever somebody else can do something for us, yeah, we'll take them up on that.
Yeah, I was like, my work here is done. Yep. That's it. Yeah, so that was it. I mean, yours was a little different, though.
Yeah.
Your coming out was really different.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Transitional Wisdom. If you feel you'd like to share your story, or if there's a topic you would like us to cover, please email us at nash@transitionalwisdom.org or visit our website, transitionalwisdom.org. And please don't forget to like, share, rate, whatever. It really helps us reach a wider audience of people who may find this helpful. And hey, thanks.
Who knew this would happen? A magic potion could save my heart. Who knew that these feelings had a name? A I'm worthy of change, same as you are. Mirror, mirror, don't you judge me, don't you dare. Who knew I was capable of loving? Who was there staring back? I said staring back at me. Ooh, it's been a long time coming. I